This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Power feeds it down. Nice puck. Krebs scores! There's the shot. Lindy Ruff been calling for number 19. Byram back to McLeod. Cross ice. There's the shot. Scores! What a quick release that was. It's a great shot from Owen Power. 7 seconds to go in the power play. 14 in the period. Power shot scores! Alex Tuck was in front of the net, and the Sabres in overtime with a power play goal win the St. Patrick's Day showdown 3-2.
It's a Who Says No Tuesday. I'm going for 16-0 the rest of the way, which gets Buffalo to 92 points and still very much alive in the race. What do you say, Marty Baron? Welcome in to Sabres.
This is how you start the day. I was going to say happy
opening
day.
Sun is shining, baby.
Do you know who won the game this morning in Tokyo?
What?
The Dodgers and the Cubs played opening day baseball today in Tokyo this morning.
Why are you yelling? You sound distorted to me.
Am I? Okay. I'll turn it down.
Maybe I came in a little hot.
You came in hot with the 16-0, so I get it. But do you know who won this morning, the baseball game?
I have no idea. I was otherwise detained this morning, as you know.
Okay. Well, go Dodgers.
I
don't have
a
Dodgers hat.
Marty, I was literally in the dark this morning.
I know. You were in the dark. You were surrounded by lights and darkness and all that. But anyway, I figured I'd just let people know, those that missed it, the Dodgers won 4-1 against the Cubbies this morning. So, and they have another game tomorrow morning early for those that, and then they'll
who pitched?
Resume. I don't know. I just saw the score. I'm not going to dive deep into it. I have hockey on my mind right now. It's about hockey. It's about the NHL. It's about the Sabres. I just wanted to remind people, all of a sudden baseball has started. So let's go.
All right. Way to veer off of the main topic of, if you add, if they've won two in a row. If they make it 18 in a row, they're going to have a chance. That's all I'm saying.
And you know what? Listen, it much more than the results, I feel that the last two games.
Don't tell me about the process. I'm only results oriented.
No, it is. It is not the process. What I like is in the engagement. The engagement, because you don't have Kulik, you don't have Peterka, you don't have Norris. The lines have looked in a way that we've never seen them all season long with the personnel that's being moved around. Guys are getting called up. I saw Brett Murray in the third period yesterday drive the net. And it's like Big Murr has looked better in this one game than the games that I've seen him play with the Sabres in the past few years.
He had that slot opportunity where he put himself available and it just didn't connect on the pass from below the goal line. But it was exactly where he needs to be. You're right. We don't see that very often. And let me throw multiple bouquets your way. I don't think you've ever been more closely aligned in a prediction with who you wanted to see, who's got the most to gain slash prove in the remaining games, who's playing up in the lineup. You didn't hesitate last night on the pregame. Peyton Krebs. Pretty impactful game from Peyton Krebs.
Very impactful game. And look, this was, that line that Krebs was on, obviously, with Murr and Quinn. Like, they needed to be good. Now, I get it. This is a power play goal that Peyton Krebs scored on a nice feed by Jack Quinn. But I think 5-on-5, they held their own. And then Boston is not a great team. Boston has got some very, very deep issues, especially when it comes to their players group. I think their goaltending, Swayman and Corpusello, could be good moving forward. But on defense, like, Zadorov was really good for them. Physical, you have to expect that. But other than that, like, they've got some issues. But the Sabres, so against Vegas, they needed a physical, emotional response. They got a break when Hurdle did not shoot it in the empty net, but they took advantage of that break. They took advantage with Dahlin scoring late and then winning it in a shootout. Yesterday's game was different. Yesterday's game was, well, Boston is not going to have 35 shots in the game. We know how Boston plays the game. Mm-hmm. And Boston protects the middle of the ice really, really well in front of their goaltender. So you're going to have to find other ways to create offensively. Not that the Sabres created a ton of chances, but enough. So much so that Corpusello made a few big saves. And then they were patient enough to not just throw the plan out the window, right? That's the engagement I'm talking about. Like, early in the season, it's like, ugh, this is a boring hockey game. Nothing's happening. Let's throw the plan out the window and let's improvise. And then they lose the game. This was, they stuck with the plan, and the overtime was crazy, but crazy enough to create a power play for Tuck to tip it in.
And just to validate my claim earlier that if they finish the year on an 18-game winning streak to get to 92 points, this would force the Rangers to go 10-4 down the stretch just to get to 92. Probably not happening. Montreal would need to go 10-5-1 to get to 92. Probably not happening after how hot they've been. Detroit would need to go 11-4 just to get to 92, and so too would Columbus. So 18-0 to finish the year would definitely keep them very much in the mix.
I still think 92, look, you mentioned those teams, Montreal, the Rangers, Detroit, and Columbus, what they need to accomplish down the stretch to get to 92. We're not including Ottawa in there because Ottawa's way above. Ottawa's, you know, they're soaring. They've got a big game against Montreal tonight. That's going to be fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But, Montreal, the Rangers, Detroit, Columbus, they're all fighting for that last playoff spot. Mm-hmm. And right now, the Rangers are it. The Rangers, if they were to play let's say four games over, I think it would get them to 90.
I just said if they go 10, but if they go 10-4, they get to 92. But I don't 92, think they're going so 10. I don't think they're going 10-4.
That's going to be tough.
Could 8-6 only gets them to 88.
9-5 would get them to 90, right? So 9-5 is realistic for the Rangers. 90 is realistic. So you say 16-0 for the Sabres, 15-1
would
do it.
Well, it would be 18 because they've won two in a row.
Yeah, but the rest, the next 16, right? Like 15-1 could also get them to a battle. So I'm gonna stay positive with you on that one.
I reeled you in. I'm enjoying the sun. Tomorrow's gonna be even warmer, and then of course the wheels fall off because it's still March here in Buffalo. But whatever, just embrace the sunshine.
The wheels fall off.
Weather,
please keep your wheels on your vehicle.
As a meteorologist by trade, yes, I'm reminding you where we live and where we are at on the calendar. Beyond your love going into last night, and I say that, you know, in the sense of just who you were focused on and having it turn out to be a nice night for Krebs, what else, other than the engagement, like, or who else is a takeaway from last night whether it's a building block to close the year or a catalyst to close the year here. What are you seeing now within this group that might have Peterka back on Thursday against Utah, sent Roseanne back to Rochester today, has kept Brett Murray on the roster right now, Josh Norris on the trip, Yuri Kulik at home in Buffalo. Home, yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot to discuss here, but I want to know where your focus is today.
So my focus after last night driving home from the studio was it started with Owen Power. And Owen Power had a goal and two assists. He factored in every goal, played well. And I felt like Owen Power was moving. Even when Pasternak got on a breakaway, who was the guy that was like just skating behind him and got his stick, just a little bit of his stick at the very end? It was Owen Power. You're going to make mistakes on the ice, and a guy like David Pasternak is going to find opportunities, but can you battle? Again, the engagement. Can you stay engaged in everything that you do? Mm-hmm. And I felt like Power was that guy last night. So when I looked at the defense, like the way the defense was constructed, I'm thinking like, oh, I'd really like to see Dahlin with Byram for the rest of the year, because mm-hmm. I would like it if that D pairing was your top D pairing starting game one next year, right? And then all of a sudden, maybe you have Power with somebody else. Like, who is that going to be? I don't like Power and Samuelson. It hasn't really worked. You know, who is that going to be? But the way the Sabres have constructed their defense here the last, you know, couple of games is Dahlin on one pair, Byram on one pair, and Power on another pair. It's like, let's put our top three guys on three different pairs, make sure we have one of those guys on the ice at all time. And look, Bo Byram is and Bryson have worked out really well. I think Byram is kind of letting himself free, right? He's skating everywhere. He's active in the offensive zone. You know, so
but he was with Raz, too.
He was with Raz, but now you... He didn't take a step back saying, hey, I'm not with Dahlin now. I have to be careful in what I'm doing. No, he stayed himself playing with Jacob Bryson. And so having Dahlin, Bryson, and Power on three different defense pairing, I didn't really think it was going to work, but I like the way that it's responded, because everybody has had a hand in, look, Dahlin scores late in the game. Bryson and Byram hit McLeod for that 2-1 goal against Vegas, Power yesterday. It just, everybody seems to be having a hand into what's going on here. It's not just focusing on one defensive pairing.
All that being said, you're not anticipating for opening night next year that the group of six looks as you're talking about it here.
No, I'm not. And look, that... It's hard to speculate on it, Duffer, just because of the way that the contracts are organized, right? So you're looking at the Sabres and you're looking at the blue line. Well, okay, so Dahlin has his deal, Power has his deal, Samuelson has his deal, Byram, it's a question mark. Connor Clifton will still be under contract, right? So, and we haven't seen Bernard Docker yet. Bernard Docker somebody that, as an RFA this summer, is somebody that the Sabres want to move forward with?
Right.
I don't know that we insert Bernard Docker into the lineup right now, but maybe over the weekend they play back-to-back. Maybe that's where he sees his first activity in being Minnesota, Winnipeg, Saturday and Sunday.
I don't want to test your memory bank too much or mine, but because you laid out the defense the way you did and having your big three separated on all pairings, it sounds like other teams historically don't do that, right? Like, you would have all three of them in the top four, if my memory is serving correctly. Now,
that's the blueprint. That's always been the blueprint around the NHL, yes.
I know, that's why I didn't want to go down this path too much. And hey, I would gladly take input from people who are thinking of you know, teams that have it laid out differently. Hit us up at Sabres Live. Like, that's... I would be appreciative of that. I'm trying to think like Vegas has such a deep defense core.
Yes.
You could easily have three significant defensemen over the course of the three pairs, because they've got like four or five guys that are really, really good, you know, in that group. But I also often gravitate to really memorable teams as they were constructed. And the 07 Ducks just constantly used Niedermeyer, Pronger, Boschman all the time. But they were in the top four in the group.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's
and even now, you look around the league, like, let's, you know, take a team that has, I'm just looking right now. Okay, and the Washington Capitals, but right? Their top three pairs are Chychrun, Carlson, and Sandin.
Let me just say this. There's nobody else that has three defensemen that are going to get 40 points.
No.
That's where Buffalo is the exception here, and that's why I'm projecting it the way I am. So you can, like, go off on Washington or whoever here. It's just kind of like a lot
of things.
Most
people have a top pair. They don't even have a top three. They have a top pair. That's the way it goes. Like, you know, Winnipeg has Morrissey and DeMello. That's their top pair. Then after that, it's your second and third pairing, and it's whatever. That could be interchangeable. But having three, like the Sabres do with Dahlin, Power, Byram.
Yeah.
Look, I've been critical of Owen Power this year. I think everybody has. There's been moments where it's not looked like, hey, is he going the right direction? Mm-hmm. Well, last night is one of those flashes that tells you if Owen Power plays like he did last night, there's no issue here. Because then you'd have Dahlin, who's been so good. You have Power, and then you have Byram. And that's probably in that order. Despite the fact that Byram has been really good, he'd probably slide in as a number three for me if Power plays the way that he played last night. There's still some improvement to be done, and it was Boston. And Boston is a team that maybe is not the fastest, you know, at coverage. And the Sabres were at times slow to make the right play. But I think they found the right plays often enough, and Power was at the, you know, involve on every one of those.
Mm-hmm. And 2 for 4 on the power play, which we have not said often enough. It was a grind fest through the course of 5-on-5 play last night. It was nothing to write home about. It was not particularly entertaining. But those are the games you have to win based on special teams. You have to. And they did. They had 2 power play goals. Boston had none, despite a 5-on-3. And that's how you win in all of this. So,
and you win with your often you're going to win with your top players on the power play performing. The way the Sabres won yesterday is with, even on the 4-on-3 in overtime, it's Peyton Krebs and Jack Quinn on the power play. It's stuck in front of the net. It wasn't Dahlin, Thompson, Zucker, you know, those guys that you would think are the top power play guys. Mm-hmm. But you get a chance. Again, Peyton Krebs gets an opportunity to be on the power play. Take advantage of it, right? Owen Power got an opportunity to be involved in more power play time because that unit was having a little bit more success. Take advantage of it. Like, that's as simple as you can get.
Yeah, and again, going back.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to how you talked about the three big names on separate pairings. This is all because of what lays ahead for Byram. And the assumption of contractually where he will likely end up. And then I would ask all that are involved in this show today, listening or producing or talking, like, find me another team that's going to have three defensemen making that much money. Right?
Yeah, it would be hard to find.
This is real, and this may be unique, and this is why we're talking about it with Buffalo and how it can be a good thing or, as sports often dictates, I'm not sure I want to do it that way, right? That's just the reality they're in right now.
And you're right. And the cap's going to go up. You've got Thompson locked in for long term, and if Tage can score 40 or more every year of that contract at just $7 million,
it's like... Norris locked in.
Norris is locked in.
It's the highest paid forward, by the way.
Tuck is going to be coming up here, and I get it. And Alex Tuck is looking at another 30-goal season. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, maybe you're looking at Alex Tuck in the summertime because you'll be able to extend him starting July 1st. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're like, okay, let's lock pieces in right now because we know that we have to manage our payroll, but the cap's going to continue to go up. And if the cap continues to go up, we're going to have money to spend and be able to find more players to be able to complement that group, right? And so you have Greenway for a couple of years. You have Zucker for a couple of years. Like, you have those guys locked up. It makes a difference. So it's going to be an interesting summer. And most people think it's going to be a very busy summer for Kevin Adams and the hockey department because you're going to have to make changes to that group that, despite where they are in the Eastern Conference, could be in a battle for a playoff spot if it just wasn't from that 13-game losing streak, right, and be able to get closer. But, yeah, there's going to be some changes.
You're never going to be able to run from the 13-game streak. But I would say this, this is recency bias, harder to accept was the 6-game losing streak coming out of Four Nations that started with a loss in Nashville, which shouldn't have happened based on how bad Nashville was at the time. And then they came out of it and they've been trying to dig themselves out of that window, unfortunately. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, it wasn't immediately after they won the first two out of Four Nations and then went on the slide. So anyway, it's just once you have the 13 gamer on your ledger, you can't have another 6 gamer.
And two of those games are against the Canadians, who are like borderline a playoffs team right now. And maybe that would make a difference if you were in that position. You only had 1 point, only one of those games did you go to overtime against Montreal, and that was it.
Who are the hottest teams in the NHL post Four Nations tournament?
Okay, so I am going to say,
based on points percentage.
Points percentage. The Ottawa Senators?
They're number four.
Okay. The Ottawa Senators are number four. I'd like to think that are the Montreal Canadiens up
number
there?
Number one.
They are?
Yes.
Okay. Ooh, you know who's been hot is the Carolina Hurricanes have been hot.
They are number five.
They're five, okay. What about the Winnipeg Jets?
They are number seven.
Jeez, I can't get the top guys. How about the St. Louis Blues?
They're number three.
Okay, I'm getting closer. How about the...
It was either this or Ask Me Anything. So I'm
no. How about the Tampa Bay Lightning?
The Lightning are sixth.
Okay, so I'm missing what? Number two?
Number two, number eight, and number nine.
Okay, so...
And there's a reason I stopped at nine.
I don't know.
Number two is Colorado.
Oh, should have said Colorado.
Number eight is Dallas.
Yeah.
And number nine is Washington.
Okay.
And the reason I put the Caps in there is because I wouldn't stop talking about it during the Four Nations break, that the team that's going to be most benefited by this tournament is the zero participant Washington Capitals in the Four Nations. They've done pretty well. They've gone 8-4 out of the break. So I would say they've held their own based on the remarkable season that they're having. But we're just seeing Montreal vault into the mix and St. Louis vault into the mix, and the same goes for Ottawa and to a certain extent Tampa, based on a little bit of teetering that they had there. And now this leads into the next question: who wins the Atlantic? Because right now, after last night, it's 85 for Florida, and the absence of Ekblad is in full effect. They've dropped three of four, combined with, of course, missing Matthew Tkachuk. Tampa won again last night. They have 83. Toronto won last night. They have 83. Three teams separated by 2 points, and the Chasers, the Lightning and the Leafs, have a game in hand on Florida. This is wild. The Panthers and Leafs will play head-to-head two more times this year, and the Lightning will play each of the Panthers and Leafs once. So who wins the Atlantic?
Okay, so I am going to say the Toronto Maple Leafs will. And the reason why I'm going to say that is I feel like the Florida Panthers, dealing with Tkachuk injury, the Ekblad suspension, it doesn't help their roster. Like, they have a great top line and Barkov and Reinhart on that line. But then you go to the second line, you have Sam Bennett there. And who else is there? Evan Rodriguez. Like, there's something missing, something that Tampa and Toronto have right now. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Tampa, to me, have been almost like this inconsistent, beautiful thing. Like, they are so hot and Vasilevsky is so good. And then when we saw them against the Sabres, Vasilevsky was so bad and Tampa still end up winning. Like, they're very, like,
the Lightning
hot
are
and cold.
Art. The Lightning are a piece of art.
Yeah. They're a beautiful mess.
Yeah. It could be a masterpiece. It could be a dog's breakfast. But just keep staring at it. And I think the pieces are still there, where you can project, you know what, they could still be really great at the end of the day.
Yes, and I look at strength of schedule right now, and out of those three teams, Toronto has the easiest strength of schedule remaining. So I'm going to say Toronto would probably win the Atlantic, which would be great because we would most likely see a Battle of Florida between Tampa and the Florida Panthers in the first round, which I want marquee matchups. I don't care when they happen. I want the marquee matchup. I want, you know, Colorado-Dallas. I want Tampa-Florida. I'd like to see, you know, Toronto-Montreal Toronto-Ottawa.
I was going to say, it right now, give it a little more time based on how hot Montreal is, but 2-7 is what it would be, which right now would be Toronto-Ottawa if the Leafs vault to number one in the Atlantic. Right now, that's not the case, obviously. But
yeah, and then Washington's going to get the second wild card team. So one of the Rangers, I'd like to see Washington Rangers. I mean, I played for the Rangers and we played against the Washington Capitals a couple of times in the playoffs. We go back to Ovi playing against Lundqvist back then. Like, I would love to see it. I think that would be a great matchup. Washington, New York, Battle of Florida, Battle of Ontario. You know, that leaves you Carolina, New Jersey, which nobody would be watching.
Are you kidding me? The historical reel based on past series between the Canes and Devils.
You see Jokinen with the Caniacs, right? The Caniacs that
Eric
scored.
Eric Staal. Oh, my God. Like, I would guarantee you that there's more playoff history between Carolina and New Jersey than any of the other matchups that are currently in place. Now, if it gets to Toronto-Ottawa, there's obviously the 20 years ago Battle of Ontario, Battle of Ontario. But you know what I mean? Like, this Carolina,
the big Irishman and Pat Quinn against, Patty Laleem and the Ottawa Senator.
Who would be the most prominent vocal booster among all media of Carolina, New Jersey?
Carolina, New Jersey.
Weeksy.
Oh, yeah, because he's been, on both, yes. Kevin Weeks. But you know what? Go back and Google, for those that don't know, like, that rivalry and maybe never paid attention. The Hurricanes beat the Devils in the playoffs of 1 year by scoring, like, in the last minute of game 6 and game 7, and, you know, it was going to go to overtime, and then UC Jokinen took a shot that beat Brodeur, and you're like, what happened
here?
One
of the games, Carolina ripped it from the Devils with 2 in regulation
in the last
final minute and a half.
Yeah.
It was like, what just happened? Yeah, it's amazing. So good for them. I think any matchup is amazing. Did you want to ask me anything before the break? You want to say
no? When we come back for the break, though, something funny happened last night in the game between the Sabres and the Boston Bruins that I didn't see, because on our broadcast, we kind of cut right away to something else. But Andrew Raycroft, Patrice Bergeron, and Tuukka Rask were doing a simulcast yesterday for Nesson, where they sit on couches and they do kind of the Manning cast. And they had some fun with a Corpusello moment that we should revisit at the when we come back from break.
And in the meantime, Sabres Pride Night is coming up, and we have a T-shirt and ticket package for you. It's when the Penguins are in town on March 27th, and the package starts at just $30. Visit sabres.com/pride to get yours today. And we're back after this with more interesting and perhaps humorous analysis from Marty.